Now, the message this morning is taken from a series of messages that I had developed, and I don't know how many of those messages I will be able to share with you, but the message this morning, or the series, is on casting vision and casting nets. And this morning, the emphasis is going to be on a call to discipleship, or a call to follow. And we're going to get into that in just a moment, but first of all, let me take you to the Word of the Lord, to the fifth chapter of the book of Luke, Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. I'm going to read from verses 1 to 11, and then we're going to come back to a scripture part of that to unpack it in just a moment. But let's just ponder these words as I read them this morning in the fifth chapter of Luke. It says, "So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitude from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.' But Simon answered and said to him, 'Master,'" or teacher, "'we have toiled all night, caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net.' When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men.' So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him." May the Lord add to his word this morning his blessing as we look into it together. Now there's an old saying that says, if you can't bring the mountain to Mohammed, then bring Mohammed to the mountain. Well, this morning, I can't bring the lake, to you with the warm breeze and the beautiful sunshine and the sparkling water, but I'm going to bring you to the lake, the setting where this scripture that we read this morning occurred. And it's the Lake of Gennesaret, and Jesus shows up there. Many of them may not have knew who he was, other than probably he's just a Galilean, but there was something different about him. So we're going to go there this morning for a trip, using, of course, our imagination based upon what we have here before us in the Word of God. And I'm going to take you there, and we're going to probably go for a little boat ride and get a little fishing in, and get back before noon. How's that? So that you can get home for lunch. Well, if I'm going to do that, I better get going. Okay, so here's the scene. This beautiful setting of the lake and the sunshine and the sparkling water and the warm breeze. There's a multitude, a crowd of people that have come together. And this man shows up that seems to be somewhat set apart from the rest of them. And there's a couple of boats that's close to the seashore. And Aside from that, there are some fishermen who are cleaning their nets. Obviously, they must have been fishing, and they had come ashore, and now they were just cleaning up their gear and calling it a day. And Jesus selects one of the two boats, which belonged to a fisherman by the name of Simon, who's also referred to as Peter. And Jesus asks for the use of Simon's boat. And Simon obliged him, Peter obliged him, and made his boat available. And so Jesus says to Simon Peter, he says, let's just push off a little bit from the shore. And he did. And then Jesus sat down in the boat and he began to teach the multitude, the crowd. So that's where we are. Now let's see what's in that. That happened over 2,000 years ago, but yet it speaks to us this morning because it is God's inspired word. And because the author of the book is with us this morning, the Holy Spirit, then there is something in this for you. You have ears to hear what the word of the Lord is saying to you this morning. And so there's something in this for all of us this morning. Maybe something individually, collectively. But definitely, when we go to the Word of God and we open our hearts to receive it as God's Word for which it is and not the Word of man, then it's going to speak to us. It's going to give us a message. So let's go to verses 1 and 3 again of chapter 5 of Luke. And you can see it on the screen. So it was as the multitude. I want you to notice that multitude, I don't know exactly how many, pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats. Notice it specifically states that he looked at two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. Then when he had stopped speaking, it doesn't say how long he was speaking, but it says when he stopped, he said to Simon, he said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. It's very specific. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Well, let's see what we can glean from this morning as we ask a few questions, beginning with why. Why the crowd had been gathered. Why was there a multitude of people that had gathered on the seashore at that particular time? Well, the word of God is very clear. They pressed about him to hear the word of God. Wow. A multitude of people, a crowd of people, had come together to hear the word of God. Now that's a far cry from our culture today in the Western world. It's very unusual to find a crowd, a multitude of people coming together to hear the word of God. You may get them for entertainment. You may get them for singing. You may get them even for a worship service. You may get them for some kind of a drama or whatever. But to get a multitude of people to come together specifically to hear the word of God is something that is not common in our culture. Maybe at one time, but not in the present day and age in which we live. And so we know why they were there for the Word of God. Why were there the boats and the fishermen? Why were they washing their nets? Well, I already alluded to it. It seems as if they had already been fishing and they had come ashore and they were cleaning up their nets because their day was done. And so they were just cluing up. Now, why was Peter's boat? Why was Simon Peter's boat selected? There were two boats. It wasn't by accident. It was by divine purpose. Peter was selected. He was the owner of the boat. Jesus deliberately chose Peter because Jesus was casting vision. Jesus was preparing now to show the world of that time his purpose for being on earth. And there was going to be the unveiling of that over time, and it was going to include men and women to partner with him in fulfilling his purpose or carrying out his mission. And Peter was going to play an integral role in the mission that Jesus had come to start on earth, and the purpose for which he had come. So it wasn't by accident that it was Peter. So now he says to Peter, he asked Peter for the opportunity to use his boat and to use Peter's time to take him out a little bit from the shore. Now, why did Jesus want the boat? Well, the primary reason why he wanted the boat was so that he can move out from the crowd that was pressing him, and that he could teach, and in that particular natural setting, his voice would be able to carry so that those on the shore would be able to hear him teach to them the Word of God for which they had shown up. So that was the primary reason. But you will also notice that after he finished speaking, after he finished teaching the Word of God, he makes another request to Peter, and he says, launch out into the deep and let down your net for a catch. So he wanted to go fishing. Now, why in the world would Jesus want to go fishing after spending time preaching the Word of God to the multitudes? And think about it for a moment. Here he is. He's not showing up in a building called a church, because that was unheard of at that time. There was no such thing as a church. He didn't show up with a shirt and tie and a suit on the seashore. And he not only didn't come into a building, he didn't step up to a pulpit. And more shocking, he didn't stand up. He sat down. So here we have this man, not even in a building, not dressed up for Sunday, getting in a boat and sitting down to preach. Now, that'd be the talk of the town in our day if a preacher did that. But see, these are the insignificant things. These things come and go with culture and tradition. What you wear, what your type of presentation you're going to make, what venue you're going to use, that thing. They come and go. But the one thing that's constant here, that is no different today than what it was over 2,000 years ago when Jesus showed up and sat down in the boat and began to teach, is the Word of God. Amen? Now that's your constant. That never changes. The method may change of how you present it, and the individuals that teach it might take on various appearances when it comes to clothing or particular, where they wear a beard or not, or hairstyle, or whatever. All these things are insignificant. The constant thing here to keep in mind is the Word of God, which never changes. And it's never to be compromised. It remains regardless of culture. It remains regardless of people's opinions. The Word of the Lord is the Word of the Lord. And that's what I'm responsible to bring to you. The Word of God. And so now, after he had taken Peter's time and used his boat, no doubt Peter, and I can't speak for Peter, but I can only imagine what he may have been thinking in terms of, if it were me. If I had fished all night and had come ashore and I was trying to clean up and put away my fishing gear and get home for a nap, then I wouldn't be too excited about someone asking, can I borrow your boat and would you take me out just off the shore for a little while so I can teach these people? Well, now that I'm finally finished, wouldn't you think that Peter's saying, well, I'm glad that's over with. It's time for me to get home and get my nap. Okay, those of you that ever work night shifts, you know what that's like. You work all night, the morning comes, you don't want to be going at something else right away. You want to clue this up and wind down and get home and get some sleep. Well, Peter may have been in that frame of mind. And then Jesus says, Peter, move out into the deep. Take the boat out further. We're going fishing. What? Peter must have been saying to himself, are you serious? We're going out to go fishing when we were out there all night and we caught nothing, absolutely nothing. It was a total disaster, unproductive. And now I'm trying to get home. You want to go fishing? And so it almost seems as if Jesus is imposing. You know, you're taking the man's time. You're using his boat. What kind of a freeloader? So obviously there was a little resistance by Peter. And of course, I guess he felt somewhat obligated to support his resistance. And so he articulates it, puts it into words. And he says this. He says, We have toiled all night and caught nothing. Now, this is a seasoned fisherman, okay? This was his career. This was his life. He grew up doing this, and now he was in charge of his own boat. He knew the waters. He knew the weather. He knew the different things. He wasn't just, some person that would not take serious. I mean, he wasn't a fella that would take a canoe and go across a lake in the wind. Some people would do that, but not Peter. He knew what he was doing. And so he said to Jesus, this is the logic, in other words. We fished all night. We caught nothing. We were gone ashore. We were cluing up for the day. But there's something about the Word. Words of Jesus that goes beyond your thinking or in your head and registers in your heart. See, that's the difference between your word and God's word. God's word gets into our heart. Sometimes it can make us uncomfortable. Sometimes it can bring out the resistance that's in it because we have logic. We have a reason for the position that we are taking. We have a reason for what we want to do or we do not want to do based upon our logic. But here, even though it's illogical, Peter realizes that there's some gravity to it. He is asking me to go out into the deep and let down the net for a catch. Now notice how specific Jesus is. He didn't say, let's go out and let's have a little time fishing before we go ashore. See if we catch it. No, no. He said, Peter, launch out into the deep and let down the nets for a catch. The catch was guaranteed in Jesus' mind. He knew exactly what he was doing. Peter wasn't so sure. Isn't that like us? Sometimes God is doing something. Sometimes God is saying things. And in our logic, that doesn't make sense. You know, that sounds like you're imposing on me, Lord. I've done this for you. Now you want me to do this. This is not, you know. But he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's requesting. He knows why he asks for what he asks. And so Peter had enough sense, if you call it that, to overcome his resistance to the word of the Lord, to the request of the Lord, to the directive that the Lord had given. And he obeyed. Now that's key. That is very much key. That is one thing that you will discover as a follower of the Lord that is imperative. When God speaks into your heart through his word, it'll always be through his word. If it's anything that comes that don't line up with the word of God, then it's not from God. It's either from your own preconceived ideas or from some impression or for some influence of somebody else. But if it's lining up with the word of God and you know in your heart, not your head, that the Lord has spoken into your heart, then obedience is not an option. It is a must. You must obey the Lord if you're going to be a follower of Jesus. If you're going to be a disciple of Jesus, you've got to learn to obey what Jesus says, what the Word of God says. Now, for some of us, it takes time. For some of us, it takes a while before we get over the resistance to the place of obedience. But Peter obeyed against everything that he thought was right and everything that he thought was a reason not to. He chose rather to not go with his logic, but to obey the word of the Lord. And he took the boat. Let's go with him now. As he's taking that boat out into the deep. Jesus is on board, Peter is there, the nets are there. Now, he is to go out into the deep, which he does because he's obeying the word of the Lord. And now he is going to put down the nets once again. That's the next step. Can you imagine? It's only a few hours ago we were here. There's not a fish to be seen in this place. And now I'm back here again, and I'm going to go through all this trouble of putting out the nets again. But nevertheless, Lord, at your word, at your word. I don't understand what you're doing. I don't understand what you're asking of me. But nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the nets. And that is faith. That is faith. Do you know what faith is? Faith is obedience to the word of the Lord. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. Faith is not, I think I can, I think I can, I know I can, I know I can. It's going to happen, it's going to happen. That's not faith. Faith is obedience to the word of the Lord. And when the Lord requires something of you, and you obey, and are willing to act on that, then you will get the benefit. So Peter obeys, he puts down the net, and what does it say? It says that he got so many fish that the boat was beginning to sink. As a matter of fact, he was so successful that he had to call out to his partners to come with their boat to help them. And they filled both of the boats, and both of the boats began to sink. It was probably, and most likely, the most lucrative catch of fish that they had ever encountered. It was beyond believable that now that it had taken from the same waters in just a short period of time, a large amount of fish. Now what's going on here? We see resistance, because that's the natural part of us. We see obedience that's based on the Word of God. And we see faith that comes from acting on obedience to the Word of God. And we see that now this is where the miracle took place. You see, the miracle didn't take place when he was resisting. The miracle didn't take place even when he obeyed. The miracle took place when obedience became action based on the word of the Lord. And faith kicked in and the miracle happened. You see, that's how God works. That's just how God works. And so what was the miracle? Yes, it was a great catch of fish. But what else? Well, you see, remember I said that Jesus asked Peter for use of his boat, and then Jesus took Peter's time, and they went out while he was teaching, and then after that he asked Peter to go out into the deep, and Peter was probably thinking, you know, this, you're really imposing on me, and you know that I already gave you my boat for nothing, gave you my time for nothing, and now you're asking me to take more of my time and my energy and my boat. Kind of a freeloader. You see, Jesus is no freeloader. He wanted to pay Peter. For the use of his boat and the use of his time. Now, if Peter didn't obey him, and Peter didn't act in obedience, he would never have gotten his reward. He would never have got the best paycheck that he had ever received in his life. Friends, that's the way it is. When we overcome our resistance, when we obey what God is speaking into our hearts by his Holy Spirit, which is his word, and when we not only obey, but we take the next step of acting, faith arises, the miracle happens, the reward is ours. What about the bigger picture? That's the small picture. That's the lower story. Peter gave Jesus his boat. Jesus taught for a while. He went out, got under nets, got more fish than they could handle, and it was just a fantastic, successful fishing expedition. And Peter was so rewarded. That's the lower story. What's the bigger story? See, Peter cast nets, but Jesus cast vision. What do I mean by that? You see, Jesus was starting his ministry. Jesus was recruiting, because in the work of Jesus, it's not a one-man show. In the work of Jesus, he includes imperfect people. He includes you and I, that he came to redeem by his own blood, and loves us so much that he wants us to be a part of his mission. And so Peter, as we'll see, and as you already know from studying his life, was far from perfect. And even after this incident, his life is still going to have imperfections. But the point is that Jesus is casting vision. He has a plan, he has a purpose, he has a mission. Eventually we'll get to that, what it is. Not this morning, but there is a reason, there is a purpose, there is a meaning to it all. And you will notice that after the haul of fish, after they brought in so many fish, that Jesus said to Simon, specifically now, Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. Now, the logic behind launch out into the deep is one thing. But what in the world, Jesus, are you talking about that from now on I'm going to catch men? You see, Jesus had this plan where he's going to reach the world with his message. And Peter, you're going to be an integral part in this plan. By trade, you are a fisherman, and you're used to catching fish, and you just had your most successful fishing expedition ever. But I want you to know something, Peter, that from now on, there's going to be a change, because you have received a call to follow me. And that's the call to discipleship, to be a learner, follower of Jesus. At this point, Peter's just a follower because there's a lot to be learned. That's future. So you start off with being called to follow, and later you are used to make disciples. You're called to follow Jesus to be a disciple. Later on, after you've been taught, you learn to make disciples. So that's the vision, part of the vision. He's casting the net now. And so that's all Peter got to go on, but it's enough. It's enough. Once again, the word of the Lord got into his heart. He responded to it. This time there was no resistance. Do you know what it said? It says that when they brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. Not only Peter, the rest of them that was with him. They said, Jim, we're going to follow this man. We are going to follow this. Not a good time to make a career change. You just got the most successful catch of fish. Man, you're going to have money to take to the bank, and now you're going to give all that up just to follow this man? What? Am I crazy? But I'm going to obey. I am going to obey. And I'm going to act. I'm going to forsake it all, and I'm going to follow. So now, you will catch men. The whole purpose of this, as we conclude this morning, is that the Word of God is priority. That Jesus not only rewarded Peter, but he called him to partner with him in a much larger project. Church. He was casting vision. It's going to take time to get it through to these people. Exactly what Jesus is all about. He's going to start with a ragtag team of fishermen. And Peter was going to be the head honcho among them. What a piece of work for Jesus to deal with Peter. But then he deals with me. You. We're no better than Peter. We make mistakes. We mess up. Important thing is they follow him. So this morning as we close, this is what I want to ask you. Sarah, maybe you can come back and just play over that number just a closer walk with me. This is what I want you to consider this morning. I want you to consider if there's any resistance to what God is speaking into your heart to do. Maybe something that you don't want to do. Maybe something that you don't think it's necessary to do. There's no reason to do it. But the word of the Lord is down here. You can't get it out. You can't get it out. You know you got to do or should do the right thing. And the right thing is to obey. Is to obey what the Lord is speaking into your heart. And then to go from obedience to action. That's where faith will come in. That's where the supernatural will come in. That's where you'll see the glory of God. That's where the change will take place in your life. That's where transformation will occur. That's where you'll be rewarded. Not temporally, but also eternally. If you overcome your resistance to what the Lord is requiring of you. If you obey the word of the Lord, and if you act on obedience to the word of the Lord, then you're going to be rewarded. And the glory of the Lord is going to be manifested. You want to be a part of what Jesus is doing in the earth today? Do you want to be a follower of Jesus, a learner, follower of Christ? Do you want to partner with him in this great enterprise known as the church, which is about to be completed and brought into the glory of God, into his presence? The church that Jesus gave his life. Are you willing to take action so that the work can go forward? You see, because just as Jesus called that day for people to follow him, and Peter was singled out particularly because he was going to have a ministry in the work of the Lord. So God has called each one of us this morning to follow Jesus. And each one of us can become a disciple. And then as we learn and as we grow, we in turn make disciples for Jesus. You see, it's not whether he showed up in a suit and a tie. It's not whether he showed up in a building called a church. It's not whether he showed up behind a pulpit and gave an eloquent speech. It's about the Word of God. God will fulfill his word. And God has only one plan for humanity. And that is his plan of redemption. And through Jesus Christ, you and I are redeemed from our sins and made new creatures and brought into his church to be his followers and to make disciples for him. The one thing that has never changed is the Great Commission. And all of us have been called to follow Jesus and to learn so that we can introduce others to his message. That's why we're here. That's the only thing that's important. When we overcome our resistance, when we act in obedience and faith is executed, then miracles happen. The church is advanced. God receives the glory. We get our rewards. Everything that we need, he'll provide for us. But listen, you're not going to take much with you when you leave this earth. If it's not your family or someone that you won for the Lord, you're not taking any stuff with you. It's time for us to focus once again on the real reason why we as individuals and collectively as an assembly this morning exist. You're not here to please me. I'm not here to please you. We are here Jesus, to advance the kingdom of God. Would you stand with me this morning? I asked 2 weeks ago if you do something following the sermon and that you would find some way that you could be Jesus, either his listening ear or his eyes, seeing the needs of others, his words speaking encouragement to others, his hand extended to others. Something that he will show you to do, no matter how simple it is. This morning I'm going to ask you, as you take away from this message and face your week, check your heart and see if there's any resistance to what God is asking you to do, which is contrary to what your stubborn will and my stubborn will wants to do. I want to go home and go to bed and have a nap. I don't want to go out to the deep fishing again. Wasted one night already. I need to overcome that resistance and obey, and I need to go beyond obedience to taking action, and I need to see the results of obedience to the Word of God. You need it in your life. We need it collectively as assembly. More importantly, Woodstock, the region that we represent, need it, and we're called to be a part. Let's just prayerfully say, just a closer walk. Just a closer walk with thee. Great is Jesus, is my peace. Your desire this morning, just a closer walk, whatever it takes, and it only takes obedience. Great is Jesus, is my peace. Willing to overcome whatever is resisting you from doing that. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Say it with me this morning as we close. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Let's say it together. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. So be it. Amen. Go in His name and be blessed. Have a great week. God is in control.